John chapter 16, verses 1 to 15. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, and righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In John chapter 16, we move to a greater focus upon the Spirit in Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. Chapter 14 particularly emphasizes the Father, chapter 15 particularly emphasizes the Son, and now we're thinking more about the Spirit. Christ teaches that the disciples will be excommunicated from the synagogues, perhaps much as the man in chapter 9. It suggests also a sort of legal context. The rulers of the people and the religious leaders will be casting them out of the assembly. But there is an ironic reversal here. Although the disciples will be on trial, through the work of the Spirit in and through them, it will be the world that will be on trial. The work of the Paraclete or the Helper in John is primarily legal in character. He will convict the world. At this point, the disciples know that Jesus is going away, and they're very sorrowful as a result. But they've all failed to ask the most important question, where are you going? And Jesus has earlier declared that his ascension to the Father will, among other things, demonstrate where he first came from and the entire nature of his mission. The fact that he is going to the Father should be a cause of encouragement and joy for them. Now, it's beneficial for Jesus to depart because this leads to the sending of the Spirit, introducing a new and a greater stage of ministry. The Spirit will convict the world of sin on account of their rejection of Christ. And it's worth noting the definition of sin that's at play here, that sin is primarily defined not by breaking commandments here and there, but by the rejection of the person, Jesus Christ. The people have not merely broken a few commandments, they have rejected God's Son, the one in whom the Father is known. And that is a very different sort of thing. Sin is personal. At its very heart, it is rejection of God himself, not just a few commandments. He will convict the world of righteousness. And I think this is in part because as Christ goes to the Father, the true character of his mission will be revealed, that he has been sent from the Father, and so he goes to the Father. And the fact that he goes to the Father is a demonstration of the truth of his mission. And after that has been demonstrated, there is a convicting force to that, that this now has very clearly God's imprimatur upon it. And finally, of judgment, because Satan is condemned. There is a decisive judgment against Satan at the cross, and the Spirit declares that fact to the world. Just as Christ did not act on his own authority, but on the Father's, so the Spirit does not act on his own authority. The Spirit will guide the church, and the apostles most particularly, into all truth, not least through inspiring the witness of the New Testament. And this will be through taking what is Christ and giving it to them. And all that the Father has is Christ's. Now again, we're getting at the heart of Trinitarian truths here. We're seeing something about just how tightly connected the persons of the Trinity are within John's understanding, that you can't separate the persons of the Trinity in Jesus' teaching and in John's theology. A final question to think about. Christ does not come, according to his teaching in John, to judge the world, but yet the Spirit is associated with the condemnation of the world and the coming of judgment. How are we best to understand the relationship between the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the Spirit in these respects?